grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this Wednesday evening is found in the Gospel as recorded by Luke in the 23rd chapter, reading there the 46th verse. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Here ends our text. In Christ Jesus, our crucified Savior, your fellow redeemed. All the other prayers that we have considered this Lenten season have clearly been prayers. There's been a petition. Forgive, for instance, or all the others. There's something asked of the Father, something requested by Jesus or by others. But this one doesn't quite seem like a prayer exactly, does it? "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." But there is an implied prayer there. What's the first prayer you learned as a child? Well, probably the table prayer. But then after that, probably the bedtime prayer, in which we commend ourselves into our Father's hands. "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take." And this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, there are some who modify that prayer to take out the suggestion that one might die during the night, but I think that was probably the very purpose of the prayer when it was first constructed, to remind children that they place themselves in God's hands. And in times of sickness, illness, whatever, danger, there is always that possibility, as people, especially in older generations, knew better than we do, that even a young child may easily succumb during the night. So the bedtime prayer is really an imitation, as it were, of the prayer of Jesus. Jesus is praying to his Father and committing himself and his soul into his Father's hands. Now, Jesus was quoting. He was quoting King David, who, in one of his many difficult times, it isn't really specified, and there's no real way to determine which of the difficult times it was, being pursued by King Saul, perhaps, or before some battle. But he prayed the words that we hear our Savior speaking. "Into your hands I commend my spirit." David had his difficult times, many of them, just as we may have difficult times, and David faced death, just as we too are facing death constantly, really, and will more intensely as our time comes nearer. And that time of his distress, he prayed to the Almighty God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, and said to them, to ask that God to care for his soul. He committed it into his care. And yet, David's prayer and Jesus' prayer, though they have the same words, are not really exactly the same prayer. If we compare the two, we'll see the differences. Jesus, first of all, adds a word in the front. He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. David doesn't have that word. David was praying to an almighty God. David was praying to someone who indeed cared for him deeply, had protected him and would protect him, someone who thought much of David, had great mercy on him. But it wasn't really a father, not in the way that Jesus had a father in heaven. Jesus speaks to his father these words. David wasn't dying. He was in danger, perhaps, but not in imminent death threat. He was praying for deliverance from some enemy, from some circumstance, but not the same extreme as Jesus was. When Jesus prayed this prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," it was imminent. It was right now. "Take me, my spirit, now as I give it up to you." David was delivered, as he says in the next strophe of that hymn, of that psalm, "because you have redeemed me." David could trust in the Lord that having done that, he had purchased him back, as it were, set him up on the throne, or would soon do so, had promised him his throne in any event, had exalted him above all of those around him, his neighbors, his family. And he had done that, and because he had done that and showed that mercy to David, David could pray, "I will commit myself into your hands." But Jesus was the very redeemer himself, the one who needed no redemption, for whom redemption would have been an unthinkable thing for him. He was the very Son of God. David was in distress, but Jesus, when he prayed this prayer, his distress was over. This was not a prayer for deliverance because he was distressed beyond all measure, but rather Jesus, when he prayed this prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," when he prayed that prayer, it was a triumphant homecoming. It was Jesus offering to his Father his spirit as having conquered death, having overcome the evil one. David prayed for a future deliverance. Jesus prayed for a very present committing into the Father's hands. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus then proceeded to die. Now, this was a very active dying, a dying that is unique in all of history. We are not able in with the act of our will ourselves to die. Oh, we might over a period of time allow ourselves to die, you know, just kind of give up and bring death on. But how many people aren't there who would, if they could, simply wish themselves dead and mean that and are not able to? Jesus, however, I'm convinced, was able to do that and did that. Now, this is not the universal conclusion. There are people whose opinions I greatly respect, who view Jesus' death as really a death like our deaths, brought on by external forces that finally overcomes the life of an individual. Jesus, they say, when he said, "I lay down my life and I will take it up again," was really speaking of that whole circumstance surrounding his capture, his trial, the punishment, the crucifixion. He was going into that circumstance and in that way delivering himself to death. Maybe like a soldier might do when he delivers himself to death by going willingly into a battle, knowing that the chances are very great that he would die. But that doesn't, I think, quite do justice to the scriptural data. Jesus, when he died, gave up the ghost, or as another passage speaks of, he yielded himself, he yielded the spirit up. It was an activeness on his part that Jesus is displaying here. When you look at those words of Jesus as the good shepherd, when he says, "I have the power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again," yes, that first part, standing alone, maybe could be simply a yielding himself into the circumstances that will bring death upon him, putting himself into a death certain circumstance. But the second half, "and I have power to take it up again," that certainly shows a power that only God himself has, God in human flesh. And if that is an act of his divine, uniquely divine will, then surely the first part of that pair is also, "I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up." Nowhere in Scripture does it simply, the Gospels, does it simply say that Jesus died. You don't use that simple word. It uses words like breathed out his spirit, like yielded up the spirit, handed over the spirit. And so an activeness on Jesus' part, choosing at that time to die, and then saying to his Father, asking his Father at that time, "Now, please receive my spirit into your care." And what does that mean? And what was Jesus really asking the Father to do? To commit yourselves to the care of another. Well, that word is used in Scripture in a number of places that suggests it means something like "I deposit something in your care. I commit it into your care for safekeeping." And that's exactly how Jesus is speaking here. Paul, for instance, when he spoke to the elders on his second missionary journey, spoke of commending those elders to the Lord, asking the Lord, in effect, "Take care of these people. Keep them safe in your keeping." Or when Paul spoke to Timothy, he used this word when he spoke of Timothy, that he committed this charge to Timothy. What charge? Well, the gospel ministry. "I'm giving it into your care that you might keep it and use it and keep it safe above all." And so forth. These words of Jesus, "into your hands I commit my spirit," have been imitated by Christians throughout all ages. We see right away, don't we, the very first martyr said essentially the same prayer as he was being stoned, when Stephen was looked up into heaven and saw the heavens open before him, and he committed himself into the hands, the arms, not of the Heavenly Father, but of Jesus himself at that point. The other martyrs that followed, often they too died with words much like this on their lips. One of the early martyrs, Polycarp, who was 86 years old from his baptism and would not forsake the Lord, who had for those 86 years been so kind to him, so merciful to him, so gracious to him, died with this prayer on his lips. Huss, who for his so-called heresies was being hustled to the flames, repeated over and over again. These words of Jesus, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit." Luther and Melanchthon, his companion, died with words very similar to this on their lips too. And it is an example that we would follow too. We know, we have confidence, don't we? Because Jesus himself now has made the Father gracious toward us, has changed our position before the Father, given us confidence and courage to stand before the Father, and has to the Father committed himself into that care. Well, we follow greatly and graciously, confident that we can do the same. Father, you are gracious to us too, for Jesus' sake. When my hour comes, take me, take my spirit, my soul, into your gracious care, and protect it against the day of resurrection, and then I commit my body and soul to you for all eternity. It's a wonderful privilege we have, and a great certainty too, isn't it, that the Father into whose care we commit ourselves will indeed take that charge seriously for us. In our evening prayer that Luther has given us as a sample of an evening prayer, he speaks of committing into your hands myself, body and soul and all things. Let the holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. That's a constant prayer of Christians, that we might commit ourselves to the Father, confident that he takes charge, takes care, and will indeed preserve us to the end. In thee, Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not helpless in the dust. Let me not be confounded. Let in thy word, my faithful Lord, may always be always firmly founded. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.